We are on part two of our series, The Amazing Ministry of Angels. And last week we learned a little bit about angels, and today we're going to learn a little more about their ability. The ability of angels is incredible. I mean, it's illustrated for us in the Bible throughout the Old and the New Testament. And archangels. In Daniel, they're called watchers. In fact, that's right from the books of Enoch, where after man fell, God, he chronicalizes. Now, the books of Enoch are not canonized, okay? But they are historically accurate, and they agree with some of the other lore of the times. But he said watchers were distributed, who came to earth from heaven. And this is all researched out by Rick Renner, too, in his book, Fallen Angels, Demons, Monsters, and the World Before the Flood. I mean, you would not believe how polluted this world was before the flood. And so God sent watchers into the earth, heavenly angels, and there were 200 of them that colluded against the plan of God and inhabited with the women of the earth, the daughters of men, it says. There's a ring in this, too. They started to bear children that were not good. Half angel, half man. And if you can see through it, that was the devil's plan, to pollute the gene pool of humanity to the extent where, you know, because angels can't be saved, only humans can. And so if he did that and expanded, then the plan of redemption wouldn't go through, and God's promise would fail, and the devil would be in control forever. So he had to destroy the plan that was coming against his plan to redeem you and me and everybody else. So we praise God. But archangels, watchers, seraphim, cherubim, messengers, guardians, warriors. In fact, warrior angels are used a lot in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Yeah. You say, where's that? Well, I'll show you in a few minutes, so just relax. But warrior angels, it's a powerful thing. You know, the Lord of hosts, that phrase, Lord of hosts, literally means Lord of armies, angelic armies. You can read about that. And in fact, when he talks about tithing, he talks about the Lord of hosts will do this for you and that for you, and the windows of heaven will be open. So he's ready to fight for you. If you believe him enough to act on his word and do what he says to do, angels will be released on your behalf. And we are told that some angels have wings. Some of them don't. The seraphim, for instance, have six wings. Six wings, man, that's... They got to fly fast. They can also appear to a person standing on a busy street and talk to that person without anybody else seeing or hearing them, hearing the angel. So they can close eyes. They can also open eyes. That we have record of that in missionaries who were surrounded by hostile natives in their cabin or wherever they were. And all of a sudden, they started to back away and because they wanted to kill them. And they started to back away, and months later, after some of the people got saved and they started spreading the word of Jesus through that village, and people started getting saved and they made friends with them, and they said, yeah, come on. So they started fellowshipping. And finally, they asked the natives, why is it that you surrounded us? You could have killed us so easily. Why is it that you backed off like that? And they said, well, it wasn't you. It was all of those, that army of people that were with you. And the missionaries never saw it. It came from the natives to tell them what they saw. God opened up their eyes, but he withheld the eyes of those who, of the missionaries. You'd think if anybody needed to know, no, that would have set them back. That would have, when they heard that, we say, you know what? We've got to renew our ability to just walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. You know, when you, and they're amazing. Angels are amazing, and they're all through the Bible. And we need to know, especially this month, what do they celebrate in October? Death, demons, and demons are really active this time of the year because they are so celebrated and they feel welcome, you know. So they'll come in and they'll ruin your life. And they will take over and they will lead you little by little into a pit. And their agenda is lead you into a pit that you cannot get out of, that you are so condemned and so guilty that you would not want to hear from God at all, because that's the way the devil is. He doesn't want to hear from God at all. In fact, when you speak the word of God, he hates it so much, he runs. Because he remembered what Jesus, when Jesus spoke the word of God to him and laid a blow on him that he's still shaking from. And you know, when Jesus spoke the word to him, it is written, it is written, it is written. That's the last time that the devil confronted him on a one-to-one basis. He always operated through people and tried to mob rule and things like that to stone him and to throw him off a cliff. And angels stopped that too. They covered him with their feathers. And he walked right through their midst. The point is that ministry of angels has been illustrated and detailed. This is still a ring in there. Has been detailed for us in the Bible primarily by what they did. And we can get the picture of what they do and what they will do, you know, in the world. And it's one of the horror movies for us, because if they did it once, they'll do it again. That's who they are. They don't change. They're a spiritual machine. But they are beings as well. Lori and I started talking about this maybe a month or two ago, about this series, and just said, come out. All the blood movies come out and everything and try to scare people. So God is revealing his word to us about this, and for good reason. You know, as we're coming down to the final hours of the church age is where we are. I mean, the ministry of angels has to be one of the foremost things that is going on. Now, we don't worship angels. Angels are not to be worshipped. John, in the book of Revelation, fell on his face before an angel, and he says, see that you don't do that, because I am one of your fellow servants. Amen. So we don't worship angels here, but we need to be in expectation. You know, Jesse Duplantis was walking down the street one time, and is in New Orleans. And this guy came up to him. He says, in such a horrible looking face, he said, can you help me? Please help me. And he says, I'm late for him. He said, I will help you. But now I'm busy. I'm right busy right now. But I will help you. And he walked about 12 feet. And he said, I got to help that guy. God, I got to help that guy. So he walks back, just 12 feet, about 4 or 5 seconds. And he looked, and the guy was gone. And the word of the Lord came to him. He says, don't you ever be so busy that you can't help someone. Amen. We get tied up in this world. You know, the angels are ready to help you anytime you need it. They are on point. They are ready at your disposal to help you. Aren't you glad an angel wouldn't say to you, I'm a little busy right now, but hold that thought and I'll come back to you. No, they're there for you. But we need to be in expectation for that. And not miss an opportunity. And if you just determine, I am not going to miss an opportunity to do good for somebody. Do you know what? God hears that kind of thing. And the devil will give you plenty of opportunity to not do that and to go against that. But if you make a commitment before the Lord, just say, you know what? I'm not going to miss an opportunity to do good for anybody. I remember when we were still meeting in the gym, and on a certain day of the week, I had to go to the library and to study, because our house was being cleaned or whatever. and we had people working there. And I went to the West Dundee Library, or East Dundee Library up here, and I had just bought a really nice sandwich. I think I'd Jersey Mike's, you know. Love those. And I was really looking forward to that. And this guy sat down, and at this time there was a lot of homeless people that were gathering in the libraries down in Elgin, and they were becoming very disruptive too, but this guy was just sitting there. And the Lord said, give him your sandwich. I really wanted ham, lettuce, tomato, mayonnaise. It was, you know, my mouth was watering for this thing. I walked over to him. I said, here, this is yours. He said, oh, no, I can't do that. I said, yes, you can. God told me to give it to you. Amen. He loves you. Amen. Here. Anyhow, I had to go back to Jersey Mike's later. But I want you to know something. Without our cooperation, angels' hands are tied.
That's right.
Without our cooperation, also, demons can't do anything to you without your cooperation and your agreement with them. Watch the power, the prayer of agreement is a powerful prayer, so watch what you are praying and what you are saying. Because what you declare is a form of prayer. Hey, that rhymes. That's a good chorus. What you declare. No, okay. Turn to Psalm 103. Speaking about declaring. Psalm 103. And verse 2. Verse 2. We may go back to verse 1. Just to give you a heads up, Stephen. I know you don't like me to get you by surprise, but we're all friends here. Huh?
You want 2 or 20?
2. Actually, let's go to Psalm 103 and we'll start at verse 1. How's that? Start at the beginning. That's a very good place to start. In the beginning was the Word. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. That's the way you got to declare this. He is talking to his soul, his mind, his intellect, his will. He's talking to himself to bless the Lord. And a lot of times we don't feel like blessing the Lord. But he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Get ready to just bless God. And then he says it again, bless the Lord, O my soul, and don't forget all his benefits. You know something? When you realize all the benefits that are in this thing just ready to explode out on top of you, don't forget those, because when you remember them, boy, then you get ready to bless them, don't you? Bless the Lord, O my soul. And your emotions, too. He wants your emotions. He wants your whole being.
Yes.
Spirit, soul, and body. He's got your spirit. That's been recreated. That has been, we'll talk about that in a minute. But some, bless the Lord and forget not all his benefits. What are those benefits? He forgives all your iniquities. All. I don't know who it was, some criminal. At the very last, it might have been Al Capone, I think. Somebody got to him in prison. And just before he died of syphilis. And just before he died, somebody said he came to the Lord. So you'll see like Al Capone in heaven. Jesse Duplantis, when he went to heaven, you know who he saw? He saw John Fitzgerald Kennedy, President Kennedy. He was there. And you think of all the falutin stuff he did, you know, womanizing and things like that. Billy Graham paid him a visit one time. He visited with him several times. And he asked Billy, he said, Billy made a note of this and said it in one of his messages that I heard. He said, no, it was an interview. He said, Billy, I heard somewhere that Jesus is coming back. Now, here's a lifelong Catholic. He'd never heard that. Is that true? He said, absolutely it's true. He is coming back. He said, wow, What an amazing concept, he said. He said, it's more than a concept. It's happening. It's going to happen. And he's there. The Word of God comes in many different ways to people. But you know what? When they find out the truth and what's... People can't do anything but surrender to it. Especially when Billy Graham is talking to you. I mean, he was respected. So bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, all your diseases. That's arthritis. That is tendonitis. That is a sniffle in your nose. That's everything. Allergies. I remember one time they were about ready to put me under for an endoscope and whatever. And he said, are you allergic to anything? And I said, yes, two things. He said, what are they? I said, pain and death. He said, we don't have any of those here. I said, good. Praise God, so I can sleep in peace. And I said, go ahead. All your diseases. Who redeems your life from destruction. The destruction that wastes at noonday. This is all tying together. Who redeems your life from destruction, and he crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your what? Your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. If you want to be young, you want to have your youthful strength back to you. You know, Caleb came to Joshua, and he said, look, give me that mountain. He said, are you able to take the mountain? You know, Joshua's tested. See where he's kind of locate him. Are you able to take? He says, I'm well able to take that mountain. He said, look at me. My natural force is not abated. My eyesight has not grown dim. Give me that mountain, I'll take it. And he did. Yeah. Why can't he? Was 85 at the time. He was just beginning. Just beginning. Praise God. It's an expression, you're as old as you feel. No, you're as old as you talk about yourself. Let's go to Psalm 91. I got to skip along here because, whoa, we started a little late here. Psalm 91, verse 1. He who lives, dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say, just like Psalm 103, satisfies your mouth with good things. It goes right back to your mouth to initiate all this, who forgives all your sins, who heals all your diseases. Who delivers your life from destruction. You need to speak these things. Because you know who's involved in those things? When you speak them, angels are released on your behalf. In fact, let me read something to you here. How many of you ever heard of Roland Buck? Not a real scintillating name, I guess, but he was a pastor of Assemblies of God Church up in Boise, Idaho. He took the pastor in 1950, and in 1978, he was still pastor. They averaged about 1,800 a week there. I mean, so it's a big church. He had a lot on the line as far as his reputation goes and everything. And in 1978, things started happening to him. I'll go ahead and read a chapter from this. Charles and Francis Hunter wrote this along with Roland Buck to get the exact story of the way it happened, because he chronicled it all too. He says, one night on June 18th, 1978, I went to bed at my usual time with no advance notice that something was about to happen that would change my entire life. About 3 o'clock in the morning, I was abruptly awakened when someone grasped my arms and sat me up straight in bed. The room was dark because the shades were pulled, but there was enough light coming from outside so I could detect the outline of a huge being. To say the least, I was frightened. Because he was so strong, I couldn't free myself from his grip on my shoulders. See what angels can do? They have the ability to touch you and to just stay still. You can't move. Well, he can do that to your enemies too. You have a lot of enemies who have decided to walk with the devil in their life, who you are their number one. Especially pastors. Witches will do it. Witches will put curses on you and everything. But you know what? I have been redeemed from the granddaddy of all curses, the curse of the law. Thank God for the wonderful works of God. He said, to say the least, I was frightened because he was so strong I couldn't free myself from his grip on my shoulder. My fear didn't last, however, because I quickly became aware of a supernatural presence, and it didn't take me long to realize that the heavenly being was an angel from God. He confirmed this, turned loose of my shoulders, and told me not to be afraid. And then he told me that God had sent him because because of the prayers of God's people in his church, in your church, had been heard, and he was sent to deliver the message that their prayers had not only been heard, but they'd been answered. Hallelujah. And he sent a personal angel, a messenger, just to tell him. Isn't that wonderful? You know what? If you have an angel wake you up and say, your prayers have not only been heard, they've been answered. You know, keep your hand on me. Hold me still so I can get all of this, you know. He said, hallelujah. It wasn't a dream. It wasn't a vision. It was something very, very real. That's the beginning of this book. And all through this book, angels on assignment, he was told about many things that were about to happen, and by angels, messenger angels. So praise God. That just touched me, and I really wanted to share that with you. Some things you just got to read. But listen, in Psalm 91, he that dwells in the sea and shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, I will say. You got to say something. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Amen. Take refuge under Scripture's truth. That's what trust means. Take refuge under Scripture's truth. We did a whole series on that one time, didn't we? Was that here or was it in the... It was here. So that was in the last 5 years, I guess. 6 years. It's been 6 years. In November, it'll be 6 years. Okay. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. You know, in Deuteronomy 33:27, says the eternal God is your refuge. In 2 Samuel, verse 22, verse 3, the Lord is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. This psalm is so perfect. It's just an amazing portrait of the triune God working on our behalf. There is something that the whole thing is about, dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. What is the secret place of the Most High? Yeah, that's good. That's good. Secret place of the Most High is a secret, unfortunately, to most of the church. Or a large percentage, anyways. I mean, that's obvious. I mean, I listen to people. It's obvious that they don't know where the secret place of the Most High is. Because the secret place of the Most High is the table of your heart, where the Word of God has been planted, watered, and deeply rooted, and it begins to blossom forth and reproduce after its own kind in your heart, transforming your heart and making it into a beautiful garden of the Lord. In all of its fruit, love, joy, peace, and beyond that. From a heart, you know what? It's your confession of faith. Jesus said, Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart. Keep filling that thing with the word. Keep filling. Stay before it. Meditate on it day and night, night and day, day and night. Let incense arise. Get that word inside of you until your heart is abundant. And then when you speak the word, you know what the angels see? They hear the Father in that word. They hear the voice of God. They hear the anointing and the life that is in that word. And they go, wow, we got to do something about this. And they say, we excel in strength hearkening unto that word. And they do it. They listen and wait for your words in order to act on your behalf because they can't do anything. God doesn't force his will on anybody. He will not violate your free will. He needs your permission to work in your life. When he came to Abraham, he says, hey, I'll give you a deal. And what did he do? He said, if you enter into covenant with me, I will make your name great. I will do these things. Da, 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 da. And he gave him a deal. Abraham still had to accept it. And he did. Praise God, he did. And he validated it. He validated it on Mount Moriah, where Jesus died too, same place. And he raised the knife to offer his only begotten son, Isaac, the son of promise. He had other kids, but God told him, this is the one. And he was ready to do it. And the angel of the Lord, which is Jesus himself, he said, don't touch him. Now I know that you honor me. And that made it legal for God to send his son into the world to die for us. In that it was in his heart to do. He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I. These are not just words, like people say words, that's just words. No, this was David's reality. This was where he walked. He wrote this. If you dwell in the secret place, he knew where the secret place of the Most High is. It was in the very first psalm. In fact, let's go there. Psalm 1. Sorry I didn't put this in there. It's just coming to me now. You got to kind of float with the current. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly and stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law or the word of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. This is what David wrote. This is what he did on the back 40, building the word into his heart, building the word into his heart, building that word into his heart. And the word was planted in his heart. It was watered. It was living seed, living blessing, dissolving curses, dissolving family lineage and everything, that dissolving all of that in his heart, and his heart was getting full of it. And it was so full of it, Goliath seemed just to, this is just like sweeping the floor. An angel put that rock in Goliath's head. All he needed was somebody to launch a rock. All he's looking for is somebody to launch a rock. All he's looking for is somebody to sow a seed of faith, words of God that will launch into the situation. That's what allows God, because the angels, they excel in strength hearkening unto that word. And when you speak that word, ow! My bones are getting on fire here. If you're not, I will say of the Lord. What are you saying of the Lord in your heart? It's time. If you're not doing it already, you need to start saying things about the Lord that he says about himself. Start to say who he is. And if you believe what he says about himself, then you have to believe what he says about you. And when you start to say it and say it and say it, despite the situation you're in, but you keep saying it and saying it, and watch that word cut through. Watch angels start to dissolve all these obstacles that are before you and make these and turn these situations around for your good. And they start dealing with people's hearts, and they'll blind them to the things that they don't need to see, and they'll open their eyes to opportunities, and they'll show them, look, they work all things together for your good. Yes. That's all angelic intervention. All of it. You speak about yourself, what God speaks about you. Speak it. Speak it. You know, a word isn't a word until it's actually spoken. It remains a thought and it remains pregnant, but not active until you speak it. If God just thought about, I think what I'll do is I'll create a universe. If he never said light be, it wouldn't have happened. How many blessings have we missed? Let's start turning that around. Amen. Praise God. I wrote something down here. Your words of faith are what release your angels to enforce the promises, blessings, benefits, and provisions of God that are covenant-driven, covenant-enforced, and they enforce your dominion in the earth. That's what words of faith release your angels to work for you. You need to dwell in the word of God because his word is unchangeable, immutable, enforced by the blood covenant in heaven and in earth. And when the word of God covers the earth, it will bring such power of salvation into the earth that the worst gutter-ridden, curse-filled, and sin-soaked sinner, it'll be the easiest thing in the world for them to repent. Because the power to save, like just like it was the power present to heal, it all comes in the same thing. But you need to speak it. Then angels start, they start blowing things away. You know, in Acts chapter 9, verse did I give you, Stephen? 5? 4 and 5. This is Saul of Tarsus coming into Damascus, and it says, he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul. Can we go back one verse to 3? It says, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. To 4. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, suddenly there was a light shining. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? What are you doing, Saul? And and he said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I'm Jesus whom you it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. Now, that's an English way of saying pricker bushes. You know what that is. You know who was surrounding Damascus was angels, guardian angels. And these, and in front of them were warrior angels with their swords drawn. That's the pricks. And he ran into that bunch. And Saul was about to get either very saved or very dead. Because the angels, let me explain this. Exodus 23 and verse 20, I think it is. 20, yeah. Behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way. This is when they came out of Egypt. And before, to bring you into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him, who? The angel. Beware of the angel and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if you shall indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and I will be an adversary to your adversaries. For mine angel shall go before you and bring you into the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Parasites, and all the ites. And hippies, and the Canaanites, and the Jebus, and I will cut them off. God wants to act on your behalf. So here's what happened. Did the children of Israel, did they obey the voice of the angel? No, they didn't. They started gripe and complain. They said, God wants to drag us out here, and he wants to kill us. Remember, how can you say that? I did these 10 amazing wonders that Egypt just coughed you up. They said, go. I got you totally delivered from that. And you think I'm bringing you out here to die? And what happened is they offended that angel. and snakes came in. So Moses, they came crying to Moses and said, what do we do about this? Moses went to God, and God says, okay, get this brazen serpent. Serpent. See where sickness comes from? The serpent, the devil. There was no sickness in the earth before the fall. It is God's will for everybody to be healed. So he put that thing, a brazen serpent, up on a pole, and if they got bit, all they had to do is look at it, and they'd be healed. That would straighten me out. You know, a viper got a hold. Those vipers are nasty stuff. You got to be careful. I mean, they are powerful beings, but here's what I'm getting to. Let me get to Psalm chapter 8. You know, Jesse Duplantis caught into heaven one time. And did I tell you that earlier? Okay. But, you know, when you're under this, I mean, it's... he said the seraphim up there were 30 feet tall. You see, we have no idea. The spirit realm is so much bigger than the natural realm that we get a picture of it like the reality is here in this world. No, the reality is in heaven. This earth came from spiritual matter. It's the spirit realm that is really the force of all that you can see naturally. And they say, and the spirit realm is so much bigger than the natural realm. And the angels are thrilled with us. And this is what gets me. As we are in this natural world, natural people, they are absolutely thrilled with us. I'll tell you why. God, when God said, let us make man in our image, the angels say, what's a man? What is man that you're mindful of? The angels are saying that. What is man that you're mindful of him? Why do you consider a man? What's a man? What does it say? What is man that you're mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels. I want to tell you something about that word angels right there. It's the only time that this Hebrew word is translated angels. 2,337 times in the Old Testament that word was translated God. It's the word Elohim. You have made him a little lower than God. Now, and you've crowned him, man, with glory and honor. You made him to have dominion over all the works of your hand and put all things on the works of his hand. He's given us dominion over all the works of his hands. Let me ask you this. Did God create the angels?
Yes.
Did he? Yes, he did. Are they the works of his hands?
Yes.
Then who do you have dominion over? Here's the order. God, man, angels. God, man, angels. Now, the reason they're so powerful is they are spirit beings and they minister spiritual power, which is so much powerful than we are. But as far as the order of authority is, it's God, man, angels. Isn't that amazing? So you don't have to be afraid if an angel appears to you. And if an angel of light with a dark agenda comes, you just kick him out the door and say, get out of here in the name of Jesus. Because there's always something a little bit off. They'll start to, anyhow, they'll start to teach you things out of the Bible. No, the Holy Spirit is your teacher. So Psalm 8, you got that? In fact, the NASB, verse 5, the NASB translated this way. Yet you have made him a little lower than God. That's the New American Standard Bible. Translates it that way. Praise God. Do you remember, I told you about Lot, right, when the angels blinded them? They can set up ambushes. When Jehoshaphat came out with his army, led by all the praisers in 2 Chronicles 20:20, one of my favorite stories in the Bible, And they came against the Moabites, the Amorites, and the children of Mount Seir, three armies. And they go out with praise, saying, praise God, you know, glory to God, for his mercy endures forever. And they're going, praise ye the Lord, his mercy endures forever and ever. And they're just having a time, just praising God. And it says, the Lord set up an ambushment. And they started attacking each other. What's that? Confusion. You want to follow the devil? You want to come against my people? You're confused. Here, have all the confusion you want. That's your choice. And they killed each other. Remember the four lepers? They were sitting in the gate, and they said, why do we sit here until we die? I mean, we've got lepers. We're going to die anyways. Let's just go to the armies that are coming against us and see if what we can do. And as they started walking, as they started to go towards their enemy, God caused sound to come up, and they heard a roaring army. And they started to kill each other. And then those four lepers came in and said, look at this, man, Rolex watches. We've got gold chains. We've got everything, man. I've got this new MAGA hat, you know. And I got everything. Look at this, man. I got meat. I got hot sauce. I got all this, everything I need, man. Look at all the food here. Woo, we hit the jackpot. And they got healed on top of it. See, God will always help you when you destroy the enemies and when your words start to release angels. Dwight said something this morning, when you speak it and believe it. Amen. What you're doing is when you speak believing, you are releasing the word of God. Amen. And the word of God is God. In the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God. And you are releasing God. And all of his resources, his angels and everything, they will uphold you in your hand lest you dash your foot against the stone. They are ready and available for us. And I just want you to know something. We don't worship angels. Right. We're thankful to God because they are spiritual beings and we honor them, we respect them because they are ministers of God on our behalf. Amen. And there's an alliance there that's created by the word of God. Thank you, Father, for your word. I got a lot more to go on that. Maybe next week. Did you get anything out of that today? Yes. Praise God. Angels. They're wonderful. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. Establish us in these things, Father. Establish your word in us. Lord, as we meditate in your word, flood us with light. With the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. That the eyes of our understanding be flooded with light, flooded with light, flooded with light, flooded with, overtaken by the light of the word of God. So that we can know the hope that we're called to such a place where it just overflows in our heart and people get contagious from it, get the contagiousness of hope. Lord, so that we can access our inheritance. We can tap into those things that we need. Reveal those things to us. In Jesus' name we ask. Thank you, Father. We open our hearts in expectation to the wonders of the living God in our life. Thank you, Father. And Lord, we will be ready to act on the power that's always coming towards us, empowering us, enlightening us, stilling us. Holding us by the shoulders so that we can't move until we hear every word you have to say. And then we will go in your strength and power in Jesus' name.